Doing. Welcome to the Duth Vineyard. Those of you who are joining us online or here in person, if you're here for the first time, my name, as they say, is Doug Erickson. I've been a member, my wife and family have been members here for a while, and from time to time they let me come up and speak here. And today we're going to start with a little imaginative exercise. So imagine yourself on a pleasant, sunny day. Forget about what's going on out there, all right? And you're walking with some friends along a path through gently rolling hills just outside of town. You're discussing the weather, the latest town gossip, and you come around the corner of the trail, and the interesting sight shows in front of you. A large crowd of people are moving along the path ahead of you, and they appear to be excited about something. People are waving to their friends and are yelling for them to join them. Strange. You've heard nothing of any kind of special event on this day. No party, no wedding. Was it a local band doing an impromptu concert? So you and your friends join in with the crowd and move a while until we suddenly stop moving and people start sitting down, crowding close to each other. Kids are running in and out of the groups playing tag. Dogs are barking. And everyone is facing up this little hill where a group of folks are standing. And all around you, people are asking questions. The same questions you have. What are we doing? What's going on here? Does anyone know where the bathrooms are? Does anyone know where I can get a drink here? And before you hear any answers, the whole crowd goes silent. And from the top of the hill, one dude steps forward and begins to speak. You have no idea who he is. You have no idea what he has to say, and someone around you says in a loud voice what everyone is thinking. Who is that? Before you can hear any answers, suddenly the whole crowd goes silent. But several directions at once, people are like, shh, quiet. It's Jesus of Nazareth, and he's going to teach. It's AD 30, you're in Galilee in ancient Palestine. And now you even have more questions, along with the what are we all doing here and where did all these people come from? Who is this Jesus and where the heck is Nazareth? You've heard of it, you know it's some little hick town up north, but you've never been there. So many questions. But before any of them get answered, this Jesus begins to teach. And before long, your questions get a whole lot bigger. So here at the Duluth Vineyard, starting last fall, the winter, and now, we've been walking through the teachings of Jesus, recorded in Matthew. And we started with the Beatitudes, and every week we've walked through chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And now, at the end of chapter 7, we're closing in on the end of the series. Now, we have the luxury of processing this material for many months. We've been talking about them here on Sundays and small groups during the week. But if we go back and look at the scripture text, it's important to realize that for that original audience, this was one long sermon given all at once. And Matthew gave us the context for this back in chapter 4, when he first tells us first about the temptation of Jesus, the calling of the first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Shout out to The Chosen, Season 1, for giving us a great picture of what that looked like. And then Matthew writes this at the end of chapter 4. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, and Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And if we skip ahead at the end of chapter 7, Matthew tells us these things, or tells us this. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. But between these two comments, we have all of these statements we have been working through over the past number of months. Blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the meek, and the peacemakers. Blessed are you when people hate and mock you. Unless your right living surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. If you call a brother and sister a fool, that is akin to murder. If your right eye causes you to sin, it is better for you to tear it out. Love and pray for your enemies. Be discerning, and yet at the same time, don't judge one another. And there is a time to share your wisdom and a time to keep silent. On and on. So again, if we put ourselves in the place of these poor folks on the hill, they haven't had any time to discuss any of this, to digest it in the way that we have here. They've gotten this all in one sitting. And if you and I were there, whether we were just the crowd having no idea what's going on or these newly called disciples, our brains would be melted. It would be like drinking from a fire hose, getting a wisdom drop from the greatest teacher that ever existed. You would be overwhelmed. You're taking in all this information, and part of your brain is still way back where we were in September. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor. And yet Jesus is still going on. If I was there, my brain would be mush. But what's worse is, I think I would be thinking, there is no way I can do any of this. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, we need your presence among us. We need your grace and truth to flow through us today, Lord. We pray you would bring your wisdom, you would bring your kindness, and Lord, oh, Holy Spirit, we ask you would move in power, continue to move in power among us today, and show us, Lord, give us the courage to ask. Give us the courage to seek. Give us the courage to knock. In your name, amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, those of you online or in whatever your favorite Bible is, we're in chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And this morning we are going to explore this very simple idea that maybe the reason we don't have is we haven't asked. So, let's ask. And we're going to look at some of these ideas from Scripture, and then we're going to do a whole lot of asking later on in the service. So let's get started. But one more time, let's put ourselves in the place of that original audience. the folks who were there for the Sermon on the Mount. Some of us have seen the miracles that Matthew recorded in chapter 4. Some of us were recipients of those miracles. Some of us were just healed from disease, from severe pain or seizures. Some of us were paralyzed and even suffered the influence of demonic activity. But no more. And after witnessing and experiencing these miracles, we followed this guy to where 5,000 of our closest friends are gathered together on this hill listening to him teach. And wowzers, what a message, right? And at least in my mind, I can imagine looking at the confused and overwhelmed looks and the faces of everyone around us. And right before he closes this thing down, he brings these words of encouragement. It's as if he can read our minds to the unspoken question of, there is no freaking way I can do any of this. The response from Jesus is, you are absolutely right. There is no way you can do it unless you stay connected to me. So ask, seek, knock. The only way we have any chance of living out this kingdom lifestyle that Jesus is describing is through prayer. I had a mentor a number of years ago who was a great asker. At the time, we were running a nonprofit ministry for at-risk teenagers. And every time we'd get a new donation or financial contribution or other kind of gifts, he'd just kind of shake his head and say, it's amazing what you can get in this world if you only have the guts to ask. And so, followers of Jesus, we are invited to ask for these grace and the gifts that we need to live righteously and faithfully. We go to Jesus, the source, stay in relationship with the Holy Spirit in order to live out all of these demands. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Blessed are you when. And earlier in this series, a few months ago, we looked at Jesus' early instructions about prayer. And we talked about your Father who hears you in secret will reward you in secret. And now I'm going over this with the staff and preparing for this message. There's a lot of ways that we could take this morning. I've heard a lot of sermons on these verses. And then we all have a lot of things we can pray for, do we not? But today, I'm going to take this in a little different direction than maybe you've experienced before. We're going to place these verses within the larger mission of Jesus and the mission that he has called us to. So skip ahead to chapter 8 of Matthew. This is at the end of the sermon. Matthew tells us, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Duh, right? No doubt. It's just they had just seen these miracles. They had heard this teaching, and they're just like, who is this guy and what is going on? And then Matthew tells us why the crowds followed him. He finishes off in verse 29 by saying, because Jesus taught as one who had authority, not like the teachers of the law. As one who had authority. Mic drop. It's not like in the original audience, like they've never heard a preacher before, right? It's not like they've never heard a street preacher or a Pharisee or anybody else teaching. The freaking Pharisees were on them all the time about how you need to be better about this, and how you do less of that, and be more like us. On and on and on. But this dude, Jesus, was different. His words had power, effect. And he backed up his words with action. Again, think of the original audience. You're sitting there and you're looking all around you, people that you know. Jim over there? Well, yesterday, Jim was sicker than a dog. And guess what? He looks great now because he was healed by this Jesus guy. And Julie, she grew up just down the street from me. She's never been able to speak a word her entire life. I've never heard her say a thing. And now she's jabbering on and on and on like a podcaster on double espressos. Jesus healed her. This was like nothing they had ever seen before. Words backed up with power and authority. And we see here that Matthew is focusing on two aspects of Jesus' ministry. That he says that Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and he healed every disease. In other words, Jesus proclaimed the words of the kingdom and he performed the works of the kingdom. Word and works. And because of his teaching and the miracles, large crowds followed him. In other words, his words have an authority, but also he exercised authority by performing the works of the kingdom. And sandwiched between the entire Sermon on the Hill and chapters 5, 6, and 7 are those two descriptions of Jesus' ministry that we talked about. Healing every disease in chapter 4, and then chapter 8 when he comes down from the hill. That's when things really get kicked off. You can look at it now or look it up later, chapter 8 of Matthew. It's like, boom. Jesus first heals a man with leprosy. Then he heals a Roman centurion servant. Then he heals Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. Many demon-possessed people. Many sick people. And two demon-possessed men. That's all in one chapter. So it's clear that Matthew is connecting the authority in Jesus' teaching with his authority in doing miracles. And that's the amazing thing. We practice this ask, seek, knock. We can be sure that that authority that Jesus had has been transferred to us. Listen, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 9, Jesus called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And in the Gospels, we see this pattern of training, of commissioning, and sending out repeated. First with the 12 disciples, then with 72 more disciples in Luke chapter 10. In Acts, we see it first with 120 disciples, and then at Pentecost, which we are going to celebrate in a few weeks here, over 3,000 people were empowered and sent on mission. And continuing through Acts, we see this evangelizing, equipping, sending model continue. The apostles taught others how to do the ministry of Jesus, to give the words and to do the works. And soon we see that it's not just the apostles, but everyone in the whole church is conscripted into this mission. And that is the key. The 12, the 72, the 3,000, and us today at the Duluth Vineyard have been given the authority and power to do the works of the kingdom of God. And in the vineyard, we call this, everyone gets to play. It's not just for Becca or Steph or John or Hunter to do this stuff of the kingdom. It's for all of us. We all get to play. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And this idea of word and works is essential to everything we do here at the Vineyard. You've heard us talk a lot. We talk a lot about the kingdom of God and the tensions involved in living in this world where God's ultimate rule and reign is in the process of realization here on earth. And even though that rule is in the not here in completion, we can still participate in the life of the kingdom, not just by talking about it, but by experiencing it. And that's why every week at the Vineyard, we make space at the end of the service for ministry time when we have people come up and we invite you to come forward to get prayer. Because we see these stories of Jesus in Acts, it's just not, wow, those are really cool stories. They are our models for ministry. They are the playbook. Us are commanded to give the works and do the words and give the and do the works of the kingdom. We're all on this mission. It's not about our ability, our holiness, our titles, our biblical knowledge. That authority and power has been given to us through the gifts of the Spirit. Those words of the kingdom, they tell the story of Jesus. We know this, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and the story of how Jesus' story intersected with our story. And the works of the kingdoms are many things. Praying for people like we do here, praying for the release of demonic influences, serving the poor like we do in our food shelf and compassion ministries, loving on people like we do here all the time, giving of our time, energy, and resources. One of our friends here at the Vineyard is a guy named Jordan Seng, who is a pastor of the Vineyard Church in Honolulu, Hawaii. Tough gig, huh? And Jordan's wife, Sonia, has actually been with us here in a women's conference in the past, speaking with us. And together they put together, they pastor a church that's really trying to live this word and works out. And if you look on YouTube, you can find videos of Jordan speaking on this topic of building a culture of try. Now, John Wimber, who was one of the early founders of the Vineyard, used to say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And Jordan has simplified that to try. We pray for that perfect order of the kingdom of God to come to be a reality here on earth. We try. We take risks. We exercise our faith. And we move from just talking about this stuff to actually doing it. And that's what we are going to do right now. We are going to do some asking, and we're going to do some seeking, and we're going to do some knocking. Let me explain what we're going to do. We are going to do a live... Oh, can I have the lights on, please? Sorry. We're going to do a live prayer session together, workshop, if you will. We do this from time to time here. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask anybody, entirely voluntarily, if you have any need for physical healing and are willing to get prayer, to either stand up and raise your hand, or raise your hand. And then we're going to pray together for the whole power of the Holy Spirit to come. And I'm going to ask for people to go to someone who is standing or have their hands raised and pray for them. Now, if you end up being a prayer, a few real simple instructions, okay? First, ask the person your name. Easy question. Second, what's going on? What would you like healing for? Then, scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a nuisance, 10 being excruciating. What's your pain level like? And then, all you need to do is say a simple prayer. Jesus, touch so-and-so. Touch this knee, shoulder, headache, whatever it is, and heal it in your name. You just need to ask God Jesus to heal and restore whatever is wrong. That's it. We're only going to do this for a few minutes, so you don't need to give advice or counsel or get a full medical history. You don't need to give prophetic words or rebuke the devil or tell God how worthy they are, all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're doing right now. When there's time, place, or that, that's not what we're doing right now. We're just going to do a short healing thing. And so for a few minutes, well, you pray. I'm going to continue on, say a few things. And then we'll let the prayers return to their seats, and we'll find out what happened. I'm going to ask anyone who received prayer what happened, if they want to volunteer, what happened, if there was any change. And sometimes we've done this in the past, and sometimes we see really dramatic things happen. We've had people being healed of things instantly in the church. Sometimes it's the beginning of healing. Sometimes nothing much at all happens, and that's okay, because we're not in control. The Holy Spirit is in control. And all we're doing today is trying, taking a risk. And one other thing, if you're like visiting or new here today, and this is just like really bizarre to you, that's all right. You can sit back, observe, listen to what I'm saying up here, ignore what else is going around there. I get this is a little odd. I get this is a little strange, okay? And it might not be normal. It might not be what you're expecting at church today, but that's okay. We're just doing what the boss tells us to do. That's what it comes down to. We're only being obedient. We're simply asking, seeking, knocking. So, ready to try this? All right. So if you have any need for physical healing and are willing to let someone come and pray for you, I want you to stand or raise your hand right now. All right. Now here's another thing. Keep your hands raised or standing, whatever you want. If you're here today and you are under the age of 21, especially, I want you to go to these people and take the lead on the praying. It's okay if other people come around and other people pray, but if there's someone that's under 21 that will take the lead, I want them to take the lead and do the praying. And again, keep it short. Name, conditions, pain level, then pray. We'll pray for a few minutes. And direct your prayers right to whatever the problem is, the shoulder, the neck, the whatever it is. Direct your pain, your prayers directly to that. Ask Jesus for healing. And it's okay to ask, check in and say, you know, pray for a few minutes. Anything going on? Well, it started as an 11 and now it's a 5. Great, let's keep going. And we'll see if we can get that down to a 2 or a 0. And then after a few minutes, I'll call it. So right now, you see the people with hands raised and standing, go gather around and start praying for them. Name, what's going on, pain level, and I'm going to keep doing my thing. And again, if you're under 21, especially if you've had prayer ministry training here, go do your thing. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and pour out your healing among us. Bring your blessings, Lord. Bring your power. Lord, we ask for signs and wonders to reveal that you would magnify your Son. Jesus. Come with your power. Come with your power. Bring your spirit, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for letting us play in your kingdom. Thank you for letting us play in your kingdom, Lord. All right, we're going to give those guys, you guys can start praying, start winding up your prayer time, but I'm going to move on and keep praying, and then we'll check in with you in a bit here. So let's say that I tell you I'm into skydiving. All right? Actually, I'm going to wait on that. Hold that thought until we're just... There's a lot more praying happening than what I expected, so I think I'm just going to let it roll for a moment and let you guys keep praying, and then we're going to continue on. All right, cool. Let's get back to the notes. I'm going to check in with you guys in a few minutes, but thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence among us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gifts that you poured out among us in our community. Let's say that, I'm starting over again. Let's say that I tell you that I'm into skydiving. You come over to my place and I show you my skydiving stuff. I show you my books, my DVDs, my equipment, my suit, my parachute, my cool goggles that make me look like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. And I tell you that I'm a member of the local skydiving club, the Screaming Chickadees. And I say, here's a picture of the chickadees, of the people in the club. There's Cloudfeather, Eagle, Cliff, that's Misty, that's Stone. And you're looking at my stuff, and you're all impressed, and you say, holy cow, jumping out of airplanes. That is so amazing. That's something I've always wanted to do. What's it like? And if I turned to you and said, oh, you misunderstand. We're not that kind of skydiving club. The Screaming Chickadees, we're not those kind of skydivers. We don't actually jump out of planes. Jumping out of a perfectly good airplane? Are you crazy? That's nuts. Most of us are terrified of heights. We just like skydiving. If I had told you that, you'd say, but you're not skydivers at all. You might know a lot about it. You might have all the cool gear. You might have studied it and have the books, but you're not really a skydiver, because being a skydiver means you dive from the sky. Here's the point. It's the same thing with experiencing God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We can know all the material, we can have the books, we can go to the God Club where the God people hang out and talk about the God stuff, but it's only by taking risks, it's only by putting our faith to work, by trying, by doing the God stuff, that we can truly say we're disciples of Jesus. And here's the thing. In this Holy Spirit skydiving thing like we just did, we don't get to pack our own parachute. It's my understanding that people that do this professionally, like Navy SEALs, they always pack their own parachutes. I can't say that I blame them, right? But when we do this Holy Spirit ministry, the word and the works, when we step out, that backpack is behind us. And I know that there's a chute in there. However, after doing this enough times over the years, and many of you can probably confirm this, there is a chute back there. Sometimes it opens a little later than you'd like it to open. But there is a chute back there. And I wanted to talk about another thing related to this. Many times those of us, we're praying for this in relation to praying for healing in the vineyard. We start praying for a headache maybe, or a shoulder pain, or some other kind of physical pain. And it's not at all unusual for the whole thing to take a turn, the direction to change. We start with praying for physical healing, and then it's accompanied by deeper emotional or spiritual healing that's underlying the physical symptoms. But that shouldn't be surprising, right? Ask my wife. When I have a man cold, I can get a little grumpy. Over the last few months when I've been in recovery from my surgery, there's been a few moments when maybe I haven't been the most pleasant person to be around, because my physical pain and limitations have affected my emotional and my mental state. And so that's why here in the Vineyard we talk about healing as healing the whole person, the mind, body, and the soul. And scripture and experience bears this out. We often see people, or Jesus praying for people, and start praying for one thing and then saying your sins have been healed in the middle of the physical healing. Or there's a connection between forgiveness and physical healing. But what's really surprising is a recent brain science are reinforcing this connection between spiritual practice and brain activity. In medicine, and if you are in medicine, I'm getting this wrong. I don't think I am, but, you know, send the angry emails to Steph. Doctors use a tool called a SPECT scan, which apparently, according to the Mayo Clinic, stands for single photon emission computerized tomography. And they study internal organs, the heart and the brain. And here's how it works. They inject a radioactive substance into you, and then a special camera is used to trace as this substance moves through the body. And they use it to study internal organs. And the SPECT scan can tell how well the organs are working. For example, how well blood is flowing to the heart, or what areas of the brain are more active or less active, or maybe what areas of a bone are being affected by cancer. Here's the cool thing. In recent years, several neurobiologists have used this SPECT scan to study patients who are having what we in the Vineyard would call a Holy Spirit moment. What they do is they have volunteers hooked up to the equipment, they inject the radioactive material, and then the volunteers do things like pray, meditate, speak in tongues. And while they're doing this, the SPEC equipment is monitoring what's going on. And this is what Dr. Andrew Newberg writes in his book, Why God Won't Go Away, Brain Science and the Biology of Belief. As our study continued and the data flowed in, we suspected that we uncovered solid evidence that the mystical experiences of our subjects were not the results of emotional mistakes or simple wishful thinking, but were associated instead with a series of observable neurological events, which, while unusual, no kidding, were not outside the range of normal brain function. Gradually, we shaped a hypothesis that suggests that spiritual experience at its very root is intimately interwoven with human biology. In other words, modern neurobiology is confirming what those of us who have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit have known from the teachings of Scripture. Our bodies, our minds, our souls are all interwoven, and all of them can be under the healing power of Jesus. All right, so let's do a check-in. Is there anyone who received prayer earlier that is willing to just let us know how it went, where it started, how you're feeling now? I see that hand over here. Casey, sorry. Amen. Oh, sure. Anybody else? Andre, man, way to be on the ball with the microphone.
Hi, I'm Bruce. I just had two young ladies that I'm sorry, I forgot their names already, and three other people from the Alpha group this spring. And I can't say my leg is any better right now, but maybe it will be later today. But I just felt the love and rejoice of what they said. And it will gave me comfort and just, it's just love. That's what I felt.
Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else willing to share? Let's do a couple more, and if anybody's willing.
I had prayer for a sinus headache and also a lipoma on my arm that needs to be removed, but the lipoma is still there, but I feel like the congestion in my head and in my nose is starting to break up. I can tell a difference.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. One more. If there is one over here or anywhere, over there, wherever, a couple more, I guess. Who cares? This is God's time.
I'm getting older. so it's like,
praise well, God for that. Yeah, gets yeah. Many don't get.
So I asked for prayer to get younger. No, I didn't do that.
So it's a shot.
I just had my eyes checked, and I didn't ask for prayer for that, but I've been unsatisfied. I can't see as well. And then back pain down my right knee. And so there, what do you need prayer for? Well, I have a side ache, too, so I have those things. Well, that little gal prayed for me there, and other people came around, and... the simplicity of it was just so freeing. And my back pain went from 3 to 0.
Yay.
My side pain didn't change, but I didn't even ask for this, but I see better. Things are clearer.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that's that.
All right, and full disclosure, this last week, a few of us went over to the high school group Wednesday night. We kind of prepped them for this. We did a little bit of teaching on prayer ministry and empowered them and prayed for them. Tables got turned a little bit, and they ended up praying for me, a number of them, not only for, just for praying for this weekend, but also because I kind of jacked my finger up, my hand up. It's been really sore with someone actually had a prophetic word about, you know, just having some things like this. And I was like, I think that's probably me, because I've been having this tight fist thing that has really messed up my pinky finger. They prayed for me, and it has been remarkably better. As a matter of fact, I don't have any pain and right now, and it didn't bother me at all last night. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Worship team, you guys can start making your way to the front. And so that's what it is, people. It's that simple. Word and works. We ask, seek, knock, because this is the offer, the grace that has been offered to us. Those who ask get rewarded. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door will be open to them. And in a few minutes, we're going to close this thing out, and we'll have prayer ministry people up here as well. My invitation would be, if you've seen any of this and you're just like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life, but I'm intrigued. I'd like to see more of this. Come up here and get prayer from these people, and they can pray for you for empowerment, for feeling more of this Holy Spirit presence. If you have some healing thing that you have a need for, come forward, get prayer. If this whole thing is just so weird that you're like, can we get back to the first part about who this Jesus person is? Because I think I'd like to meet him. Come forward and we'll pray for you. Prayer ministry people, you can make your way to the front. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Thank you for joining us online. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus, for your gifts. Life down on